Welcome back, everyone. I am Cass Piancy, and I'm joined, as usual, by my partner in crime, Bennett Tomlin. I know how he's doing. He's doing good. I know how I'm doing. I'm doing bad. Today, we are talking about Contagion, which is a bad movie and...
And a pretty mediocre book.
And a pretty mediocre book. But it also is what seems to be happening in the cryptocurrency industry right now as we speak, as we record this on June 16th. Bennett, I think Contagion is one of the things that we have long feared. This gets back to the heart of the problem that we see in cryptocurrency, whether it comes to Tether or centralized exchanges like, let's say, Binance, the most liquid cryptocurrency exchange in the world. I see contagion risks everywhere right now. I'm wondering how you're feeling, if you think that, like, the cold that has been caught in the ecosystem, the flu, whatever you want to call it. We won't go with the C word. I guess either C word. Actually, there's three C words we won't go with. Anyway, how come there's so many bad C words now? What's up with that? Anyway, do you think we're like part of the way through this disease? Do you think we're like halfway through, three quarters of the way through? The contagion has already worked itself out of the system? Or do you think it's just been caught? Do you think we're just getting the first bits of fever?
Let's talk a little bit about where we're at to answer that question. So Celsius Network shut off withdrawals and has brought in Citigroup to help them restructure. BlockFi had to liquidate assets they held for Three Arrows Capital. Tether had to liquidate assets they were holding for Celsius. Deribit had to liquidate loans they had out for Three Arrows Capital. Three Arrows Capital is a crypto market-making venture capital and hedge fund that had at one point about $10 billion in assets under management, whatever that means in crypto, where liquidity can be fleeting, has apparently now ended up insolvent and unable to pay some of their debtors. So where are we at in the contagion? Well, I think that depends on who's exposed to who and who's holding on to something that's going to need to be liquidated still, right? So Celsius Network, we really don't know what position they're in or who might still be holding debts that Celsius owes, hoping they'll still be able to pay. There might still be liquidations or people holding on to toxic debts. Three Arrows Capital is an even more fascinating example because it seems they were offering to some of the companies they invested in two services. One, they would take some of the USDC or USDT that you raised as part of your venture capital rounds, and they would manage it for you, promising you an 8% return. The other service Three Arrows Capital was apparently offering was market making for many of these coins. So, depending on how bad the situation is with Three Arrows Capital and what ends up needing to happen, it could potentially affect a whole bunch of DeFi protocols and affect the liquidity for a bunch of protocols across the entire system. Now, the final part that we've just kind of hinted at here is, of course, Tether. Tether, who is fully reserved by assets of unknown quality that every single day maintain basically the exact same assets over liabilities, no matter what happens to the bond market or the Bitcoin market or any of the other assets they're exposed to. So Tether's a miraculous case where we never need to worry about their systemic risk because they're managed by a team of consummate professionals who have never made any mistakes and who follow every rule so carefully that you know they're not overexposed to any of these things. So I think the contagion stops at Three Arrows Capital and goes no further. More practically, we don't know exactly how far the contagion can go because despite crypto's claims of transparency, there's a lot that still happens in over-the-counter deals, Telegram groups, dark pools, and other things we can't see. The full extent of what debts can't be paid and what might be liquidated is unknown, and what assets Three Arrows Capital may end up committing or needing to sell is still unknown.
Yeah, and so as funny as that was to hear, there is some level of truth to that statement, like any good joke. And the reason I say that is because we've experienced this before. We've seen insolvent cryptocurrency companies, some of them very large, get bailed out by other companies in the cryptocurrency industry. The one I'm obviously thinking about is Bitfinex and Tether. After they had a bunch of their accounts frozen, we saw Arthur Hayes and the lads at BitMEX, and we saw Zhao Dong and the company RenRenBit, which I would assume is now defunct and gone, and Banked the Future, which also had funds with, I believe, Celsius, or equity with Celsius.
Oh, and we should also remind people that Tether was the lead equity investor in Celsius's early venture capital rounds.
Correct. And they have a deep history with them, in which Mashinsky said that he gets, you know, billion-dollar loans from them denominated in Tether. But that is troubling, too. And that would, again, point to contagion risks, I would suggest.
Well, that's quite possibly what accelerated the Bitcoin sell-off. That ended up pressuring Celsius's wrapped Bitcoin maker vault, right? Was that Tether said they liquidated the position. And so if they're talking about the Bitcoin secured loan that Celsius had, and they sold the Bitcoin that were in it, they might have been largely responsible for then ending up putting Celsius Network's other position, their DAI position, in danger. Which would be funny because Tether also owns equity in Celsius.
Yeah. Yeah.
Funny.
Crazy.
I keep forgetting to laugh at the funny things.
Well, it's actually fascinating to me because now we're ending up in what was already a largely centralized ecosystem. I don't know what else to call it. And now we're seeing players plummet and fall off one after another really fast. I mean, I think the succession of Doquan, Terra, Luna, followed by this Celsius thing, followed by this Three Arrows Capital thing. I mean, this is three incredibly large, I wouldn't say trusted by most, but trusted by plenty. And it's troubling. And to me, I think Three Arrows is probably the scariest to most people in this space. In our Tether Papers episode with David Kanellis, I think we talked about them, but maybe you can talk a little bit more about them. They've been in the space for a very long time. It's Zusu and Kyle Davies. They're the partners who run this hedge fund. It's a hedge fund. It was originally based in Singapore, is now based in Dubai. They have billions of dollars under management, and they were one of the top receivers of Tether. But yeah.
Yeah. My understanding is that they were basically a garage fund initially, funded by their own initial appreciation in crypto wealth from earlier smaller investments that they ended up then rolling over and over until they ended up with, like I mentioned before, numbers say about $10 billion in assets under management. It's a little bit tricky to get an exact number for that kind of thing, but that's what you see commonly cited. And so, yeah, they were a $10 billion asset under management fund. They were early venture capital investors in a variety of different protocols. They were a major investor in Terra, especially in some of the more recent sales, which might be contributing to some of their liquidity problems right now. There was some analysis I saw that suggested they might have compounded their problem by doing the same thing that Celsius did, perhaps moving too much ETH to staked ETH, and then being trapped in an unfortunate position, which seems to be a common mistake. But yeah, so they're a market-making fund. They do a lot of market-making on like crypto.com, which was something we observed when we were writing the Tether papers. And they would often market-make for the very tokens that they had just invested in. And so, yeah, they were a large market-making hedge fund and venture capital fund because they have to do it all in crypto. And now it seems they can't pay back people they're supposed to be paying back.
And it's more than that, though, because these guys, they had a stake in a derivatives exchange called Deribit. Mm-hmm. They had a stake in, I think, Aave. I'm not looking at their website right now, but they had large stakes in very, if not important protocols, at least protocols and platforms that
BlockFi
that are important to the community. Now, what we've been seeing recently, who knows by the time this comes out, but we've been seeing a lot of these companies and platforms that they have stakes in come out and say, like, this has not harmed us. This has not disrupted us. We're going to be okay. I think Celsius was saying that before Celsius collapsed. I think we saw, what is it? Deploying more capital, steady lads, from Doquan. So it is common parlance to say everything is fine, don't worry. And the best way to avoid a bank run is to tell people, please don't come to the bank. So I think I get it. And I'm not suggesting they're doing anything wrong, but I am saying that the waters are very choppy and it does feel like there are still contagion risks going around right now. To me, it seems like we're just getting sick and like we're just starting to puke for the first time, you know.
There's a chance that BlockFi did liquidate their position early enough and weren't overly harmed by 3O's capital going silent on everyone, right? But that's only a partial explanation, right? Because they were previously raising at a $5 billion valuation and were last reported raising at a $1 billion valuation. An 80% down round, that's going to basically ruin their cap table. Like, it is unclear that without investors like 3O's capital and the liquidity provided there, that BlockFi is going to be able to close that $1 billion round. And so there are long-term risks to BlockFi's business besides just them being so exposed to 3O's capital, they would end up insolvent, right? Liquidity is kind of like a tide. When there's a whole bunch of liquidity, things are hidden, things can keep functioning. You can pull from the future. But when the liquidity goes out, things get exposed and you realize where people had overextended and were overlevered.
Yeah, it's the classic Warren Buffett. When the tide goes out, you know who's swimming naked. Another aspect of contagion that I really want to touch on here is stablecoins in general, which we've seen a lot of the algorithmic, if they didn't completely depeg, we saw their market caps just completely plummet. Over the past 30 days, Magic Internet Money is down 83% in its market cap. Fae is down 25% in its market cap. Frax is down from all-time highs of $2.5 billion to now $1.5 billion. So that is a really large decline in all of the algorithmic stablecoins. And then we have other stablecoins as well that seem to be struggling with liquidity issues and maintaining their peg outside of algorithmic stablecoins. And we saw the head of trading at Cumberland stated, now this is a thought experiment. I don't want to assign any real value to this thread and thing they wrote and said, but they did mention that the next shoe to drop that would really mess things up and drop prices and screw around with volumes and trading would be a top two stablecoin, I guess, failing, something along those lines. There's a lot of hedging in the statement. They used if, would, and top two stablecoin. So they didn't name any names, and they said top two, which, yeah, sure, okay.
Could be the one that just got an audit. Could be the one that once partnered with the money launderers for the Colombian cartels. Either one is an equally valid option.
Yeah. Who knows? But yeah, I think that's the contagion risk that you and I have been talking about for a very long time, that a lot of people have suggested is simply black swan nonsense. Doesn't feel that way right now. I guess this happens every bear market, though.
It does. And like, well, again, we say that, but like last bear market, Tether was doing a lot of shady shit, right? That was 2018. That's when all the worst of the self-dealing was happening and all the stuff they were hiding about their insolvency and not being backed. And so we say that like we just do this every bear market, but like last bear market, Tether did some pretty bad things. And so like it's Tether's changed. Tether's a new company. They're focused on transparency now, but their asset composition that we know of now is like substantially worse than what we imagined years ago. And there's still the risk based on the fact that Bloomberg reports they've gotten target letters for bank fraud. And like we know there's other ongoing federal investigations that Tether could end up doing the black swan things, which aren't black swan if you can predict them, might end up doing the black swan thing where it gets shut down and where that pool of what, still $70 billion worth of liquidity, right? They've done like $12 billion in redemptions or something, but yeah, still like $70 billion isn't a lot of dollars. That's like reserve primary fund size from 2008. It's a really substantial thing that would fundamentally change the liquidity and the faith in the system as a whole. Like, That's the ultimate contagion risk, right? That's why the Cumberland people are mentioning it, is because that is the thing that fundamentally destabilizes massive portions of the ecosystem, which is not to say that no cryptocurrency would ever survive or that no cryptocurrency company would survive it, just that many, many people are exposed in myriad ways to stablecoins, and that's what makes them such a broad systemic and contagion risk for the ecosystem. And that's why it's so important that if you're going to have an ecosystem based on stablecoins, that they are well behaved and trustworthy, because they are so fundamentally important.
I was thinking today about, you know, the broader markets, and I think this is an old cliche, but the idea that like everyone is a good trader in an up market, right? So I think there's some truth to that. And I think part of this contagion risk that I'm talking about and that we've been talking about, it relies on this idea that, well, everyone's a good trader in an up market, but in this industry in particular, everyone's trading with each other and getting equity with each other and getting tokens for loans and this and that, right? Like, it is so inside baseball that the contagion risk is super amplified because they've created a really Jenga-like ecosystem that is easy to break. And now we see this, and I think one of the best questions that people have asked for a long time about Tether, for instance, is how are they making money? How are they making money? It's like a very simple question. How do they make money? They get their 20 bips or whatever it is on each transaction back to redeem or mint. That's nothing. How do they make their money? And nobody can answer it. Nobody can say how they're going to do it.
Well, I mean, Zeke Fowkes did.
What did he say?
In his reporting, when he was chasing down the story for Bloomberg Businessweek, he said that John Betts said that Juan Carlo De Vicini was desperately interested in finding ways to earn more yield on Tether's reserves. And that's why they've fundamentally restructured themselves in their promises. And that's why, like, when you say something like Tether's reserves, fairly valued, are probably less than their circulating market cap, a lot of people in cryptocurrency won't disagree with you, because there's this like implicit understanding that for Tether to make money, they're juicing it. They're finding places to do things which aren't fully legitimate so that they can get that kind of yield.
And so, but I think what's important to note there is that when you say they're looking to places to juice it, well, there's a lot of places you could look to juice those numbers. There's a lot of industries you could look to juice those numbers. They're not looking without, they're looking within. And again, these are inherently huge issues. If Tether were to hypothetically fail for some random, who knows what reason, I mean, I guess I don't know anymore. I keep, my feelings change on the odds for Tether as time passes. I just never know. I just never, ever know. Sometimes it's a coin flip, and sometimes it, I think what seemed like their only risk being regulatory has transformed to serious market and liquidity issue risks that are now being posed.
Yes. Yeah. I have upgraded those risks in my head more recently. And I think what you're kind of getting at is, way back in our first episode on Terra, before it crashed, one of like kind of my fundamental arguments against algorithmic stablecoins is that the entire value proposition is self-referential, right? It's valuable because it's valuable. And like, if you lean into that, you can get it to a large enough size, mm-hmm. right? It's an entirely a faith-based episode. And in many ways, so much of crypto value is so self-referential, like where we know Tether is partially backed by Bitcoin and partially backed by equity in crypto companies, and that the loans for Tether, the secured loans they're extending to a whole bunch of different places, are collateralized by cryptocurrencies. So much of the value proposition ends up being self-referential in that same kind of way, where it's valuable for as long as it's believed to be valuable. And that when things get bad, when liquidity draws out, that faith is harder to maintain.
Which brings me to the final contagion risk, which I think is the bleeding into actual markets that this knock-on effect could present if enough liquidity and volume dries up from cryptocurrency markets. I know Michael Saylor has said that MicroStrategy seems to have very little risk for liquidation on all of their stuff. And that's fine. I'm not going to try to suggest he's wrong. I know that Coinbase is now trading at around, I think, $55. And I know that there are definitely companies, larger companies, and banks listed publicly that could definitely suffer consequences for cryptocurrency issues, like liquidity drying up. And so I wonder if that's the last contagion that we would see if this all does actually run through the system and hit as hard as some people expect it to.
Fed says it's not systemic, and the Fed never gets that wrong.
It's transitory.
I don't think it's broadly systemic. I think that there are certain companies that could get hurt in certain scenarios, right? Like, you named MicroStrategy. We can talk about Coinbase. We can talk about a lot of companies which are currently, dedicating resources to these things. I don't think it's broadly systemic to the financial system. I think it's still relatively isolated. And so I think that we're not yet at the point where crypto is broadly systemic to the financial system. But like, part of the reason the Federal Reserve has written papers pushing for stablecoin regulations, and part of the argument behind many of the stablecoin regulations, is that at a certain scale, they become systemic, right? They become like the Reserve Primary Fund breaking the buck in 2008. They become a real risk to the financial system because that liquidity matters so much more.
There's two ways this episode goes, I guess, which is unfortunate for us. Either we look silly because in a week and a half or whatever, when this comes out, people are like, well, obviously it was a massive contagion event. Everything's failing already. Or they go, everything is fine and there's no more problems, idiots. So we're walking a thin line with this episode, but I think it's worth talking about because I do think that this is the risk of these bear markets, especially with speculative assets like, you know, worthless tokens and companies that don't do anything and Ponzi schemes. So some of these projects are just, straight up obvious Ponzi schemes or broken protocols. I am still blown away that that dumbass Justin Sun coin exists at all besides Tron. He has like 25 fucking really dumb coins. So I think there's room for more risk and contagion. I think we haven't seen the end of it. Who knows? I could be wrong. We've seen these people bail each other out and it succeed before. So they could very well do that again and it could totally just be fine. But I don't know. Who knows? I guess we'll see. I would tell people to be extra careful on any lending platforms.
Be very aware of your counterparty risk is just generally good advice.
Yeah, be cautious on your centralized exchanges now. That's a contagion risk we haven't even really addressed at all. If the feds are somehow able to shut one of these exchanges down, that would be bad news bears big time. And
That's more liquidity being drained out.
Exactly. And unexpected and not something anyone thinks is going to happen. So that's a real black swan in my humble opinion would be one of these big, big exchanges getting shut down. But who knows, man? It's not like I foresee it happening. I think we're talking about contagion because we want people to be aware. It's like if there's a bad cold going around, you just tell people like, yep, there's a bad cold going around.
Be careful.
Heads up. It's worth talking about. I don't know if it'll lead to anything and maybe it stops here. But
maybe it does.
Hey guys, I'm recording this outro for our Contagion episode on May the 1st, and I just wanted to say that if you've been donating to us, if you've been watching on YouTube, we just got monetized, so all of our funds, everything you're giving to us, and in fact, all of my personal income and money, everything I have, is now in Celsius Network, Three Arrows Capital, and I have a ton of Luna and Terra, so you know, we are going all in on crypto. And so give us those likes, give us those subscribes. We're going totally in on this and fingers crossed. Like and subscribe. I don't know.